This is Living Lean, the show that teaches you how to apply the science of nutrition and training to sustainably create your leanest, strongest body and build the most confident version of yourself. I'm your host, Jeremiah Bear. Let's get into the show.
What is going on? Welcome back to the show. Today, I am joined once again by Cody McBroom. Cody, thank you for being here, dude.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm always happy to get on.
So, you've been on the show before. I imagine most of the listeners know who you are, but just real quick, for those who might not, give us just a super quick intro on who you are, what you're up to.
Yeah, man, I am the, I always feel weird saying CEO, but I guess I'm the CEO or the founder of Tailored Coaching Method, which is an online coaching company that works with people, I mean, really everywhere, all around the world. We have clients in every continent. We have coaches in three different continents, really big staff that does a lot of cool things with content creation, education, coaching. I run a podcast called the Boom Boom Performance Podcast, and I really just kind of, I spend my life coaching and building coaches, essentially. I guess that's really all I do when it boils down to it. I'm coaching my coaches. I'm coaching other coaches like yourself. And then I'm coaching some clients. So all around, like, that's me, man. I identify with an entrepreneur and a coach more than anything.
All right. So like we were just talking about, man, I have a very random collection of questions I'm going to ask you about entrepreneurship, kind of related to the trends of our calls over the last couple months here. But if you're cool with it, let's just go ahead and dive right in. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Harvard, man. So first and foremost, there are a fuck ton of people out there that are trying to do like what you've done to build what you built. What do you think are the biggest traits that have made like you as an individual and like the business as a whole, but you as an individual so successful?
Now, I said this the other day, not in regards to like what makes me so successful. It wasn't framed that way, but what I was talking about is, I mean, it essentially it's ambition, right? But the way I framed it was a obsessive curiosity with creating your greatest self. And I also talked about an ignorant level of self-belief in yourself. And I think that really is the combination of what leads to success. What I mean by ignorant self-belief is that regardless of what people try to tell you, regardless of what is logical, you're going to do it, right? You have so much belief in yourself and confidence that you will make it happen some way or somehow. Like, that's an ignorant level of self-belief. And I think you really do need that, because if you don't have that, you're not going to consistently take action, right? You're going to slow down. You're going to delay. You're going to drag your feet. You're going to regret a lot of shit because you're not going to take the risk needed. But ultimately, you have to have that self-belief. And then the other aspect of it is that obsessive curiosity with your greatest self. I've always been, I mean, even since I was a kid, I was always interested in more. Even though I didn't know what I would do someday, I always thought that there was something different and greater for me to do. Like, I just had this weird gut feeling that I wasn't just supposed to be a cog in a machine at a factory or a just general salesman or something like that, right? So I think that curiosity of, I mean, what's my greatest potential with my athleticism, like my body, my physicality and health? What is my greatest potential with my and spirituality? What is my greatest potential as a husband and a father? What is my greatest potential as a leader or an entrepreneur or a coach to clients? You know, so a fucking podcaster, right? Like, I think that if you're constantly thinking about what the greatest version of yourself actually does and acts like, I mean, you're never going to settle for less than what you're capable of. And I think that's, I mean, that's the big take home thing.
That's super interesting, man. I think that a lot of people or some, not a lot of people, but I do think some people just kind of have that instilled in them. Like, I know for me, it's very similar to what you're talking about. I can always like, even as a little kid, I was always like, I'm going to be so like, this sounds weird, but like, I'm going to be famous someday. I'm going to be world class. Like, it's just like you're saying, it's never like, yeah, I'm going to grow up and like, I might be like a fireman or whatever. Like, I'm going to be like the fucking best in the world at something. I have no idea what it is yet. For you, like, speaking to ignorant self-belief, where do you think that kind of is, has that just always been around for you as well? Or is there anything you can kind of like relate that back to? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, man. I think part of it is I've always just, I don't even want to say not cared what people think, because I think when people say, I don't give a shit what people think, I think I think that's a false statement. We all care about what somebody thinks. We're humans. Right. But I didn't care enough for it to change the course of my direction, right? I was enough in my own lane and comfortable with just focusing on me. And I've told you this much, I'm like putting my horse blinders on, right? Like,
right.
I don't care what the people around me are doing because I'm so focused on my narrow path. And I think that creates that self-belief. It creates that confidence. It creates that ability to just keep moving forward constantly. But I think that was kind of instilled in me. I don't know why that came about. And then the other part of it is I think there's just a chip on my shoulder. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, like a lot of successful people, they have a chip on their shoulder, right? They have like this almost like they want to succeed out of revenge. But they eventually overcome that and realize like that's not the answer. So like by no means am I like, you know, spitefully seeking success, but at a certain point in time, there was a lot of people told me how I wouldn't. And I think that gave me a chip on my shoulder to be like, I'm going to prove you wrong, motherfucker. Like, let's get after it, you know? Right. And that was even, I remember when I started trying to get in shape, like I was just completely unexperienced, overweight. I probably did jump the gun on this, but I basically said I was going to become a personal trainer before I even really committed to the gym. And so like I had friends gave me shit and my brother gave me shit. My dad was kind of confused and was like, no, you're not changing your degree. But like, man, when I have a lot of conviction in my head, like when I know, I just fucking know. And right. I forged a signature, changed my degree and just went all in on it. And I'm here, you know? So I think that say that my friends didn't give me shit, say that my brother didn't pick on me for it. Say that my dad was just like, okay, let's do it. Like maybe I wouldn't have gone as far because I did have something to prove. And I think most people are that way. Now I don't have anything to prove. Because you realize that that's the wrong intentions for motivation. But at the time, it's what kind of started the journey. So I think it's a combination of that. I mean, it's a combination of me being really comfortable and confident in my own path. And then, which I think I've always been kind of that way.
Right.
And then that idea of that chip on my shoulder.
So for you, when you realized that all the shit you had, a chip on your shoulder about like, yo, this isn't the answer. Like this still isn't, I've achieved all these things and like this isn't like my motivation anymore. Was that hard for you to move past? Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Okay. So like, for example, I know for me for the longest time, getting into some deeper shit, like for me, like the story when I was a kid was always like, I was the lazy one. So I always had this chip on my shoulder. Like, okay, I'm going to prove to my dad that I accomplished all this shit. I'm not fucking lazy. Like, look at all this. Not that I was like thrown in his face or anything like that. And I have a great relationship with my dad, but I remember very clearly not that long ago realizing like, yo, okay, I've accomplished all this, but like this isn't fixing the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think that oftentimes we seek band-aids, right? But they're not like I don't care how many times I put a band-aid on my knee. If I keep fucking falling, I'm gonna keep scraping my knee, right? And it's funny that I use that analogy and that you were saying this because I actually like kind of relayed this to somebody pretty recently because my daughter's knee was just like so bruised because she kept falling on it. But I mean, what are we going to do about it? We're going to teach her to walk.
Right.
Better, you know, move faster, walk better, step harder, like keep your stability, not put a band-aid on it and not teach her anything. Right. So I think that it ultimately, and we're humans, you know, we want the most convenient thing, the easiest thing. So a lot of times we try to put that band-aid on it or find a quick solution and just assume that that's going to fix everything. But the reality is there's always a deeper issue, a deeper rooted cause. You got to figure that thing out. You got to solve that issue. And I think when you do that, now you can make some ground and you start really making progress, if that makes sense.
Right. No, for sure. So for you specifically, I know that like you mentioned like these, like your friends that didn't think you could do this shit, or like, I know you've mentioned like working through shit with your dad as well. Do you feel like that's stuff that you like really went back and actually addressed, or do you mind diving into that a bit?
Yeah, I actually 100% addressed it, like literally face to face. So I think that, and this goes to for yourself too. Like it started with addressing like pains and insecurities and things like that in my own eyes, right? Like what was going on in my own head? Like, let me face that. Let me journal about that. Let me talk to somebody about that. Let me talk to myself about that. Let me read about that. And then I can change who I am because there's certain things I didn't like, right? And I think that with others, it's even harder because a crucial conversation with somebody that you care about is just difficult to have, man. But I remember having a tough conversation with my dad that was really hard to have, but it like eliminated all resentment that I ever had and brought us so much closer together. I remember not so much confronting friends about it, but basically just kind of writing them off. Like, yo, whatever. Like, if you don't want to kick it for a while, or you don't want to be around myself, one of my friends, like, I'm going to unfollow you because I was like, you're just posting all this like fitness bullshit.
Right.
And I was like, all right, man, you'll see someday. That's fine. Unfollow me. I don't care. Like, and it was just kind of like, oh shit. Okay. And then they did. And then obviously they came back around. I'm good friends with all of them now, but I think it's just, it goes back to sticking your own guns. You know what I mean? Like, you can care about what people think, but not the people who don't care about you. Right. So like, I think anybody who has their best intentions for you isn't going to hate, isn't going to downplay you, isn't going to try to disregard your feelings, isn't going to push you down when you're trying to come up. They're going to boost you. They're going to build you up. They're going to give you confidence. So those are the people that you can care what they think because they have your best intentions. So if you're doing what's in their best interest or what they're going to think is best of you, then you're probably doing the right thing and you're aligned with yourself versus caring about what people think in regards to people you follow on Instagram or like celebrities and shit like that, like trying to impress people that don't give a shit about you. I think it ultimately comes down to kind of like making your circle tighter, right? Like Nipsey Hussle has that great quote where it's like, if your circle doesn't lift you up, you don't have a circle, you have a cage, right? Something along those lines, right? And it's basically saying like, man, if your environment around you is not boosting you, pulling you down. And I think it comes down to auditing the people around you, auditing the places around you, auditing your habits, your lifestyle, where you live, where you sleep, where you eat, where you work, everything, where you train. And when you can do that and you can kind of confront each and every one of those aspects, I think you can make some big changes.
Okay. Let's dive into that a bit, man. How often do you like audit your environment, audit the people in your life, audit like how much time you're spending on social media? Is that something you frequently do?
Yeah. I think that like, you know, probably every quarter. I mean, definitely like, you know, New Year's, like you're always going to do that New Year's. Right. So like at the beginning of every year, but I try to do it every quarter. So, you know, 3 months passes and you're able to kind of reflect. And I mean, you know, this, you do the same thing. We like chase 90-day outcomes. It gives us 3 months to attack some big goals. And then we can sit back and reflect and look at those goals. And then you can audit everything that got in the way, audit everything that wasn't on point, audit your insecurities, your bad habits, your good habits, your sleep hygiene, your health, your relationships, what your attitude towards people. Like there, I mean, there's just so many things that goes on in a day that you can audit. And if you're not doing it, I would say at least once a quarter, I think you're leaving a lot of room of growth on the table. So yeah, for me, I think it's about every quarter, and I basically keep it to the four categories that we're all really striving to grow, right? Like myself personally, my relationship, my fitness and health, and then my business. And then going into each of those areas and writing out like in a very like very blunt fashion to myself, like auditing, where are you at? What are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? What could be improved? How are you going to improve that? Where are you going to take it next? And doing that for every area, every quarter makes a massive difference.
Okay. Kind of like the fact map. So for you, body being balanced business, basically what we're talking about there, which of those would you say is your strength and like where, which is the biggest struggle for you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, the biggest strength is pretty common amongst most men from what I've seen. Fitness and business are my two strengths. You know what I mean? And I would even say now business is more of a strength than fitness for me, just because I've been training for so long that I get more excited about business development typically than training. So I actually have to be really creative with my training and sometimes bend the rules of scientific principles, you know, but just because I need to make it fun, right? I need to make it exciting. Right. But I definitely think those are my two strengths. And then the two weaknesses are the other two, the relationship and the self. And it's not that either of those are wrong. So I think that like, you know, framing it in this sense, like no matter what, you're always going to have two better halves, right? You're going to always have one half of the quadrant that is more on point because it comes more naturally to you. And we can't avoid that. I know a lot of people who have amazing, like are amazing fathers, they have amazing race relationships. They're so spiritually inclined and confident and happy, but they're not in shape and they don't have a successful business or career and they don't have much direction there, right? Because those are the two areas that fall. Putting them all together is really fucking difficult for everybody, and it takes a long time. So I've gone through waves of being really good on everything multiple times, but I think the every time I have a big growth, like we all know there's like growing pains, right? Well, I easily adapt to growing pains with fitness and business, and I think that's why those are my strong suits. So when something needs to adapt in business, when we grow, when things change, it's easy for me to adapt and keep moving. Inside of a relationship, it's difficult because inside of a evolving relationship, I have to essentially not necessarily change my character, but alter myself to better the people around me. And that can be tough because how you're raised dictates how you are to a great extent, you know? Right. And then same thing with the spiritual side of things, like confidence, self-doubt, anxiety, stress, depression, all those kind of things. Even like spirituality with God or whoever you believe in, those things can be really difficult too, because there's no correct rule book of how to accomplish it for yourself. Everybody is in a different playing field. Everybody has different stresses or anxieties or fears or relationships with God, things like that. So those have always been the toughest for me because it's hard to adapt, right? It's hard to adapt. And I've done a lot of research with like world religion and studying that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to me. And it almost makes it more confusing because the more information you get, the harder it is for you to make a conclusion for yourself. And I think, and that's the same thing with stress, anxiety, depression, anything like that. It's hard because, you know, those things don't really give you answers. Like you can talk to people who have gone through depression or anything like that. And they'll say like, what's wrong? I don't know. Well, what do you mean? I have no idea. Okay. Well, what can you do about it? I don't know. Well, how do you feel? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like talking to somebody about that stuff, it's tough because there's no answers, which makes that category even harder. And even if you don't have depression, I think it's the same kind of theory, right? Like it's still going to be hard to have that self-discovery.
No, 100%. It's interesting you brought up studying world religion, because that was actually one of the questions that came to my mind just now. I feel like over the last like 3 to 6 months in our conversations, I've heard you like talking about God, spirituality a lot more. Just out of curiosity, if you're good to talk about all this, where are you at with that, man? Like, genuinely just curious. I know this is something like Chaz and I have gone back and forth on the podcast, like just trying to like feel out where we're at with all that shit. Like, what are your, like with your spirituality, like God, all of this, like dive into your thoughts on that. Like where you feel like you're at with that right now.
It's funny. This is like, this is one of those topics that's like, technically you're not supposed to talk about, you know, for whatever reason. But you know, like for me, it's so, I was never raised in a religious household. Like it's kind of a weird situation, but like there's many denominations within my family on both my mother's and father's side. And for whatever reason, it kind of just made both my parents not super religious because they saw so many different things. They were probably confused growing up. Right. And now when they were raising me, like it just wasn't really talked about, you know? So for me, it's always been like a really, really burning curiosity because I want to know, you know, I want to know why we're here. I want to know what's next, you know, is there something next? Like, and so I've kind of gone down all the paths. If you study, like there's a really good textbook on world religion. There's like literally like a section on every religion that you can think of. Well, that's not true because there's like millions of religions technically, but the big ones, right? Hindu, Sikh, Buddhism, Catholicism, Christianity, Mormonism, Judaism, like all those kind of main religions. And if you look at the principles behind them, they have a lot of similarities. It's a lot of being a good fucking person, not cheating and stealing. Like, you know, it's pretty basic. So then I started diving into the history because I'm like, okay, well, I want to know the origin stories. And obviously, you know, Christianity is probably the most believable origin story. That's why it's the probably the biggest religion in the world. So then I went on like a deep rabbit hole of that, like going to church with some people. I sat down and had lunch with a pastor one time and just, which is a really interesting conversation because he brought his son with him and his son just got out of jail. So his son like rebelled against him, went to jail, found God in jail, came out. And so like, it was a wild conversation, but really, really insightful. And then I started reading more, watching documentaries. Like I just kept going down this rabbit hole, right? And I'm still at a point where I don't know, man. now I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know if you've heard that one yet. Oh, dude, you gotta listen to it. It's fucking trippy. But it talks about, I mean, it's a lot about like ayahuasca and like DMT and like
hallucinogenic
drugs, and how a lot of old religions, and they even talk about even Christianity, actually used a lot of these things to be spiritually connected to God. And if you listen to him, he's not saying, oh, it's not God, they're just tripping. Like, he's actually saying, like, this is the gateway, which is really trippy. But when you hear that, you're like, okay, dude, whatever. Like, you're just too high. Like, what are you doing? And you start – so I bought his book and I started listening. And it's really, really fucking fascinating. And it just adds a whole new element. So I think, like, to answer your question, like, there's – I don't even know where I'm at. Like, I couldn't even tell you, because it's so hard to – like, when you have no background in it, it's so hard to boil down what's right to you and what you believe, because there's so much out there. You know, I think there's a lot of people even probably listening. I mean, even for me, like Shannon and some of my other family members and people like that, friends, they grew up a certain way. So that's what they know. And so they're so unbelievably confident in it that anything else wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
And they could be right for all I know. Right. But I think, like, for me, it's more of like, I need to hear everybody out because I need to understand from a greater perspective.
Right. Right. Okay. That's super interesting, man. I feel like for me, a very similar place. My family was super religious. My parents are super religious. And honestly, for me, it's always something that I'm very interested in talking to people about, but it's also hard to like put out on the podcast. Cause like mom listens to the podcast, I feel hella bad, like even talking about something. Yeah. But I feel like part of it too is just showing up more authentically. But anyways, I feel like with the warrior stuff, that's one thing that's really been super interesting to me, is like this idea of like connecting like God as almost like the voice within. To me, and it almost sounds somewhat similar to like what you're talking about there with like the dudes that are doing DMT or ayahuasca to like kind of open that gateway. Not really going anywhere with this, but just kind of an interesting side tangent.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that pastor I had lunch with said to me was, he asked me, like, do you ever have gut feelings? I was like, well, yeah, what do you mean? He was like, do you ever have, like, no explanation as to why you have to do something or make a decision, but your gut tells you to do it and you have such confidence that you just do it? And I'm like, yeah, I can think of a handful of times. He's like, that's God. And I was like, huh, like that's a really good way of looking at it. And like you're saying, it's kind of like that inner self. It's that voice, right? And when he said that, it clicked a lot for me. And so it's very similar to what you're talking about. And Warrior kind of says the same thing, and it's in it, and it's probably true to an extent. You know what I mean? Like, I think that even like, I even think about your conscious, right? Like there's, I mean, certain people are, what do they call it? Is it sociopaths that don't have a conscience or something? But, but essentially like your conscious, like it pushes you to do the right thing. Like what is in us, what's bred in us, what's in our blood that makes us lean on what the right thing is, quote unquote, like what feels like the right thing to do. I don't know, but like, I mean, it could be that same voice, you know?
Interesting. That's kind of like meditation, prayer. If you think about it, they're very similar, but they're all kind of ways of like, how do you get out of your own head, like past your thoughts to like, let, anyways, man, way off the direction of that. I thought this would help. Bringing it back to the business. What's the legacy you want to leave behind?
Ooh, that's a good question. Man, I want to change the, I know this is probably generic, I want to change the coaching industry. I really have this vision that like people aren't going to say individualized coaching anymore. They're going to say tailored coaching, because not only because it's a way to say it, but because it's the way we said it. Right. And that's a big statement, but to me, and I see people doing it who are like heavily involved in my content and follow my work. So I know it's happening on a small scale already, but I really want to do that, because I think that, you know, like everything, things get bastardized. If it fits your macros, once upon a time was totally fine to use. Now I don't say it because I'm like, man, people take it way too far. They don't get it. So I think that, you know, individualized coaching might become one of those things. And it kind of already is. There's people who call themselves individualized coaches and they don't know the first thing about individualizing a program or a nutrition plan to a client. Like, so I wanted to come up with something different, and that's tailored, right? That's more, it's a luxury service. It's more specific to the individual. It's a great experience. So it's an easy thing to associate with, but like, that's the legacy I want to leave. I want to leave this legacy that people know, like, this is what it's called because of the footprint we left on the industry. And I want it to change how people coach. I want it to change how people approach online coaching, period. And I don't know exactly what that looks like long-term. You know, like, I mean, do we become some like conglomerate franchise, or do we build a certification course and start certifying people as tailored coach? Like, I don't know. I have no idea, but I know that we're heading in the direction of growth. And my plan is to leave the legacy behind that instills this idea of tailored coaching well after I'm gone.
Okay. That's dope. I love it. Is it hard for you to stay clear on that?
It's not, honestly. It's not, because I think this, I mean, this goes back to one of the first questions you asked me, where like, I just have that ignorant self-belief, that like undoubtful confidence, because I've created such a clear vision in my head of what it looks like, you know? So for me, it's like I just, like, it'll happen. Like, I just know it'll happen. Like, I have the picture so vivid in my head, that I definitely, like, I think for sure. I don't know, man. I don't see, I've never had any issues with having that clarity. I think the only things that I've lacked clarity on is during growth, how do I adapt? How do I change? Right? Because as a business grows, and as you hire more employees, as you offer more programs, as you work with more people, as you have a bigger reach, like, you get new responsibilities, you get new problems to handle. You have new situations, you have new opportunities too. And you got to take new risks and new investments. And there's so many things that come along the journey that you have to really like learn. Like, for a long time, I just kept trying to coach as many people as I could, 'cause I loved coaching. And there was a certain point where I realized, like, I can't coach that many people anymore. I have to let my list fall smaller and build my coaches list up, because I'm a leader now. I'm not a coach. I'm a CEO. I'm a founder. So yeah, man, I think that it's one of those things where I've never had any doubt. I've just had to adapt, right? I've just had to course correct and learn how to become better for the people around me and for the overall vision and legacy.
Okay, for sure. That's one thing from our conversations. I'm always super impressed by the fact that, like, you always feel like you have such a clear direction of where you're going. And I know that's what, like, most of our conversations center around, like, for me. So this shift from being more of like, hey, I'm in the trenches, quote unquote, in the trenches, coaching a fuck ton of people, to I'm more of the leader of this, so to speak, but I'm not working with as many people. Has that transition been hard for you at all?
It was at first. I think that, you know, at first you do, because you identify as something. You know, I identified as a coach. And so when I started making changes, like, it was hard, because I was like, well, who am I now? You know, like, who do I identify now? What do I do now? So I think that there's definitely like, there's a huge learning curve. But then I think once you settle in, like, for me, it was like resistance. Like, I was resisting it.
Right.
And I didn't want to change. I didn't want to adapt. And then eventually I knew I had to, right? And there's a point where you realize we either stay the same, because I stay the same, or we grow because I grow. And I decided to grow, you know? And for me, it took kind of going on a really big personal development journey again, hiring a couple new coaches, diving into new research, studying marketing more, studying leadership. Like, the amount I study marketing and leadership compared to training and nutrition now is double, because right. I have to, right? It's not because I don't study training and nutrition or love training and nutrition, but it's because I'm not coaching people on training and nutrition. I'm marketing a business so that my coaches can coach people on training and nutrition. So it's definitely like a thing to adapt to. You got to kind of, you're changing your dynamic. And I think one hard part about it is like social media, because not only do you identify as a certain person on Instagram, but a lot of people identify your content a certain way. So when your content starts changing, you kind of get in your own head, because, you know, you realize, like, I like talking about other things now, like, not just training and nutrition, you know, like now that I have this new perspective, now that I have a daughter, now that I'm married, now that I have 11 people on my team, now that I have a facility, I have new perspectives because I have new challenges and problems in my life.
Right.
So I only feel right talking about those, because that's how I work through them. That's how I grow. So I think it's just a big identity shift, man. Honestly, it's kind of like a midlife crisis. It's like a mid-career crisis or something. And it is tough, but it's, but yeah, it's one of those things where like, I think once it clicks, like it becomes easy. Like now, I kind of got told you recently, I truly identify as an entrepreneur more than anything now, right? Like, of course I identify as a father and a husband too, but from a business perspective, I'm much more seeing myself as an entrepreneur now than just a coach. And it's because I went all in on this shift, like, cause I knew I had to, and now it feels good. Now I own it. And now now I'm diving into it.
Right. Okay. So over this course, would you say it's kind of like the last year that this shift's really been happening?
Yeah, 2020 for sure.
Okay. And over the course of that, then you mentioned bringing on some new mentors. Who would you say are like the primary catalyst or the primary people that have kind of helped you along this?
Yeah. Andreas, I butcher his name every single time, Villalba, even though I've known him for like 7 years. Andreas Villalba, he is a mentor slash life coach to myself and my wife. And I've known him for, like I said, he was one of the first people I actually ever trained. I was covering a shift for my boss 5+ years ago, probably like 6+ years ago. Actually, no, even longer now that I've been out of the gym for 3 or 4 years, but a really long time ago. And he was one of the first people I ever trained, got to meet him. I watched him fight and beat cancer. I've gone to church with him. I know his family. He owns multiple businesses. I've gone camping with him, like just very, very close to me. And he's been a big influence on more than business, on myself in my head and right. then my relationship. And because of that, my business took off. Another big catalyst this year, is the only other coach I've worked with this whole time, which is pretty recent, is John Romanello. And it's been a game changer working with him as well, because he, you know, I think there's value in somebody who has done what you've done or does what you do mm-hmm. really well still. In his case, he doesn't train people anymore. He just does marketing and copywriting. Right. He's done what I've done on the same scale that I've done it on. And for somebody like that to look inside your business without any biased emotional opinion is extremely helpful, because man, I thought my shit was solid. I thought everything was crisp. There was no holes. And as I went through for 2 hours, going through every little nook and cranny of my website and of my funnels and of my emails, my systems, of my team, he was just like, make a list and just pointing everything out. And I had a huge list, dude. But it was exciting because it was like, man, I got shit to do. I got shit to create. So I've been just grinding the last few weeks on all this stuff, because this is pretty recent. It was probably about like a month or so ago. And then the other aspect of it is he's very, his emotional intelligence, I would say, is really high. Like, he's very good at reading people and meeting them where they're at. And he's been through a lot of the same battles and struggles, personally, like in his own life and head and everything that I have gone through and am going through as a business owner. So for him to have like such an understanding perspective, like it's almost weird. Like, it's to the point where, and I'm not going to speak for you, but sometimes you might feel this way when I talk to you, like when we're having private conversations, right? Like, it's like almost like I'm reading your mind.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird.
I was literally having this conversation with Katie yesterday. Shit does weird me out sometimes, because I was like, I feel like Cody's like literally in my head sometimes, and it fucks me up a little bit. Like, makes me uncomfortable.
Well, like, it's funny, because I told Shannon the other day, I was like, she was like, oh, how'd your call go? And I was like, it's really weird to have another man understand me so well. And she kind of like looked at me weird. And I was like, I'm not in love with him, I promise. But like, it's weird, right? Like, but point being, it helps, because he knows the right questions to ask me. He knows exactly where my mind's already going. He knows what roadblocks I'm going to face, because he's been down that path. Right. I have Eric Trexler, is my training and nutrition coach. So it's like, I have three coaches this year helping me in different areas of my life. And I think, I mean, if people saw how much I spend on coaching, they'd shit a brick. But it's, to me, there's nothing, like, I would rather buy personal development than anything else in my life. You know, like, my daughter doesn't know what kind of car I drive right now.
Right.
She knows how I act and how my energy is, and she can feel that. And until she's like 18, she's still not going to give a shit what kind of car I drive. As long as she gets a car when she's 16. So to me, it's like those things. Like, I read this quote that said, I'm going to butcher it, but it's essentially like, the role of a father is to teach their daughter how men should act or how men should be or like what a real man is or something along those lines. And I thought about that and I'm like, man, like for the next 15 years, because she's not dating anybody until she's 18, for the next however many years, decade, before she starts liking boys, it's really like my attitude and my persona, my energy, my environment, my like what I do is going to dictate what she thinks a man is, which is pretty fucking crazy. Like it's a really like almost like a tough pill to swallow, but it makes you really like second guess and check yourself a little bit more. And man, that alone has made me grow so much. I don't know where that came from, but that's, she's been a coach, you know, like in my life.
That's a lot of pressure, dude. What do you feel like are the biggest, like raising Blakely? I'm not planning to be a dad now, soon or ever, but raising Blakely, like what do you feel like are the biggest characteristics or values that you're kind of trying to instill in her?
Never say never, dude. I'm not going to convince you into having a baby right now, but I did that to Jordan and Aaron on their podcast live.
Hold up, what?
Yeah, like I was like basically telling them they should have a kid. But I think that like it's really hard, man. Like I probably should know this better. Now that you said this, I'm gonna have some things written out because I think I should have some things that I'm really focused on. But like I think like it's hard right now because she's 2.5. Right. But like what I want to instill with her is how to process rage. Like I think that's something that people don't think about very often. But you know, right now she's 2.5, she's throwing fits like crazy. Like it's just what 2.5 years old do. And it's because she broke her crayon, you know, like something right. simple. But like eventually she's gonna get really worked up about certain things that she doesn't need to get worked up about. I think a lot of people do, right? So how can I teach her how to have a better understanding of what's really happening and how can I teach her to respond versus react? Like I think that's a really big thing. Ambition, like that desire to be better. Like that's going to be something I absolutely instill in her. And I want her to try harder, work harder, do more, be more, try more, take risks. Like I don't want to hold her back from anything because I want her to continually learn and grow. Right. So the ambition piece is going to be massive. And then I would say like being different. Like I think that especially in today's society with social media and everything, like there's so many people trying to do things to impress others or do things to be like others or be accepted and fit into a mold. And I want to make sure that she doesn't let that influence who she is. You know, I think that like if there's anything that I've done well that's actually helped me, it's that. It's not like just molding into what other people are or want me to be. It's really being me and being authentic. And even if it's not loved by everybody, it always pans out in your best interest.
Okay. Do you know who Corey Gregory is?
Yeah.
He was just on the show earlier this morning. He was a very, very similar like conversation here. It's almost weird how similar it is, but basically like he was talking about like his love for like old school hip hop and like wearing chains around and shit like that. And just cool to hear from both of you.
Yeah.
Shift directions here a bit. So you're very much now like the leader at TCM, of course, and of a shit ton of people. What do you feel like are the biggest things like you have to focus on to be like, again, kind of taking it back to the traits, like what do you feel like as a leader? Because I know you mentioned like over the last year, you very much focused more on like learning about leadership and whatnot. What do you feel like are the biggest traits that like make a strong leader or like for someone in your position has to have? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, empathy and experience are two huge ones. Like if you don't have empathy for them if you don't have experience going through what they're going through and therefore empathy because of that, I think you're going to have big issues. Like you can't lead from the back, right? You have to lead from the front. You have to lead from doing what you've already done before they need to do it. And that goes for your clients. It goes for your members. It goes for the people following me. It goes for my coaches. It goes for everybody. So I think experience and empathy. I think empathy is more of the trait. Experience should just be what comes before you become a leader, to be honest with you. Like I think there's a long journey before you can really lead. Empathy has been a huge one. Vision. You know, there's different, like one thing I've learned this year is there's different personalities and traits and people inside of an organization. And there is visionaries, there's integrators, there's managers, and there's technicians.
Right.
Visionaries, I'm a visionary. I think big picture. I have a really big imagination. I like to take risks. I like to invest. I like big thinking. I like to be in the front, taking action, making things happen, like creating visions. Integrators are the people that don't necessarily have the creativity or want to take the risks of that, but they're really good at making those visions that I have into reality. They're really good at putting those things into actuality. Managers are those who oversee. They're really good at leading and managing and organizing people. However, again, they're not at that visionary level. And then there's technicians who are kind of the people who are just like your typical nutrition coach who loves the science. That's a technician. They're somebody that is amazing at their craft, and they're going to stay in their lane and just be fucking badass at it. So I think learning that there's these different roles and then identifying in my team who's who, it's allowed me to grow into what I need to grow into and then try to start pushing the people beneath me to grow into what they're going to become too, whether they realize I'm doing it or not. I'm giving them things and pushing them to do things to get them to a place that they're not at right now that they will be really good fit for in the future. So I think like the takeaway there is like being a leader means that you have to be able to take a step back and identify not only your role, but every other person's role and or potential role within the organization, because then that tells you how to lead those individuals individually. Right.
Right.
Because not everybody is like, you know, this, not everybody gets coached the same way, right? Because people are different. So not everybody's going to get led the same way because they're different. So I think that's been a huge game changer for me as a leader. And then I think I would say support, man. Like I think there's a lot, like one thing I do really well with my company is like, I'm constantly in touch with my coaches.
Right.
Like every single day I have a coaching call with one of my coaches. So everybody talks to me every other week on a one-on-one call. Every 2 to 3 weeks we have a team meeting. Throughout the week, they text me in the group or solo doing voicemails, like literally all throughout the week. So every day I'm in touch with them. Every week I'm reassuring them, hey, I'm here for your support. They fill out a weekly update form just like a client does so I can be in the loop and help them grow every week. And those things are in place so that they feel supported, that they feel like they have accountability to grow and that they feel like they are growing, right? They don't have to be, they're not alone in this. And I think that's a big, big one where a lot of leaders build something, they build systems and they try to step so far away that, you know, they don't get the respect from the team that they could.
Right. Okay. That makes complete sense, man. Over the last 5 years, have you ever hit a point where you feel like you're just kind of like at a lull? Maybe you weren't as motivated for shit going forward?
I'm definitely not gonna say no, because yes, of course, but in a different way. Like there's never been a point where I didn't want to see this grow. Like I didn't, you know, but
right.
I think like during periods of change as an entrepreneur, you get to a point where, so like I talked about this on my podcast earlier this morning, creativity produces inspiration, right? So like as an entrepreneur, you want to be creative and create things because that's what fuels inspiration. And when you have inspiration, you will then be motivated to take action because you have a direction, right? And then obviously if you're motivated and you take action, you're going to get results, right? But if there's no creativity on the front end, it's hard to produce that inspiration in the first place. And I actually, like, this was a big aha moment very recently. John Romanello and me were talking and he was asking me like, what do I love? Like in my business journey, what was like the most fun? And I was explaining like the start, man, like building it up from scratch. Like that was fun. Like that was exciting. And then it was building the team and leading them and developing them. Then it was creating new projects like eBooks or the mentorship and things like that. Outside of work, what do you love? Man, I love music. I love tattoos. Like everything was creative. When I was growing up, I constantly drew. Like, so I realized that that's where not only inspiration, but fulfillment comes from is creation. It's not money. It's not like fame. It's literally being creative and creating something that is impactful to myself or others.
Right.
So, there's a certain point in an entrepreneur's career where that slows down, because if you do things right, you build systems, you put people in the right places, and you kind of just coast, right? Like you kind of get to a place where you're like, I'm not going to create or do anything different because I don't want to fuck this up. Like this is going really well. Like let's just keep moving. It's like somebody like sending you an update and they're like, hey, are you going to adjust my macros or what? It's been 2 weeks. And you're like, well, you lost 2 pounds both weeks. Why would I drop your macros? Like it doesn't make sense. Because you just want to coast. So I think that like the problem with most entrepreneurs is they get to that place, they don't do anything about it, and then they end up kind of burning out and crashing. The business falls apart, and then they rebuild. And guess what? They get that excitement again because they have to rebuild from scratch. So there's like these like cyclical entrepreneurs who build something, burn it to the ground, build something, burn it to the ground, like over and over again. I've watched it happen. And I know people personally that have built and burnt down 3 or 4 businesses until they figured this out. And I'm motivated to not burn mine down. But when I heard that, I was like, man, that's impactful. So it allowed me to start thinking outside the box. Like, what can I create? What's the next thing TCM is going to create? What can I create outside of this? Like, I actually just picked it up today. I just picked up a new guitar, and I'm going to start learning, because it was like, I need a creative outlet that creates stillness that's completely outside of work, right? Like, what is that going to be? And it's going to be guitar. So I think that for a lot of people, it's finding that creative outlet and then just doing it. Because when you do it, then you're going to see less boredom and more motive to keep growing everything else. Because if I get that creative outlet from something else, then I'm not going to try to create something new in the machine that's already working. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense. That's a different perspective. I know we've chatted about this bit before, but that's a different perspective. And that makes a lot of sense as far as like, okay, what you're doing is working. Don't fuck it up. But yeah. Also, that's super insightful actually, man.
It's a new approach to it. I'll be honest. Cause this is like recent epiphanies from talking to John. So, but yeah, I'm seeing it work.
Okay. Dope. As far as just the ups and downs of entrepreneurship as a whole, and again, I know this is something we're talking about on our recent call, like really good months, then fuck this month, everything's falling apart. What do you feel like? Do you feel like you're resilient to that? Or do you feel like that just fucks you up as much as a normal person?
I think I'm definitely more resilient to it now, because I think every entrepreneur will get that feeling at first where if you're not having your best month or something's not going as well as it did last month, you immediately think you're a failure because like you're down clients or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Even to the point where like financially speaking, if you have a big paid in full, you have a huge month because of it, and the next month you have a normal month, which doesn't mean you decreased revenue whatsoever. You could have increased, but because it's smaller due to that huge paid in full, like it's like a shot to the heart. Like it's just like, you're like, am I failing? What am I doing? And I use finance because it's an easy gauge of how many people you're helping, right? It's easier to count dollar signs than it is to count pounds lost or people impacted and stuff like that. And it's a direct reflection of those things. But I think that, you know, as time has gone on, I've been able to snap out of it quicker. At first, it's still a shot, and I still get that anxiety feeling and that panic mode. And the best thing to do is think logical. So like, look at the numbers, look at what's going on, look at the coach, look at everything. Is it really that bad? Is it really an issue? And the answer is usually no. And even if it is, like, okay, worst case, it is that way. What's the worst thing that could happen? And usually the worst case is not that big of a deal, right? It's usually like, oh, I have a slightly smaller month than last month. Like it's really like, it's all lessons. So I think that the more proactive you can be, and instead of like freaking out, looking at it logically, seeing what's going on, and then make course corrections, that's what makes successful entrepreneurs successful, you know? And it doesn't mean that they don't get that fear, stress, anxiety, any of those emotions. It just means that they know how to shift out of it quicker than most people.
I think that's been one of the most helpful things about like our conversations, is just like realizing that it's normal to like have anxiety around shit like that. But again, it's just like, okay, so what can you do about it now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
That's all super insightful, man. And I feel like this conversation as a whole, like all the coaches listening, this will be super helpful. I want to be super respectful of your time, dude. But before I let you go, can you just tell the people where they can find you and anything at all you'd like to plug?
Yeah. Instagram at cody.boomboom, podcast, Boom Boom Performance Podcast. And then the website is tailoredcoachingmethod.com. Everything's hosted on the website, but yeah, go check out stuff. I mean, our content is generally all free, and it's we basically cover all topics. So I think you and I have a very similar audience. So I think a lot of you guys would like some of the blogs and stuff like that. But yeah, man, check out the stuff.
Perfect, dude. I will link all that up in the show notes. And again, thank you for being here, dude.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It was a pleasure. And I'm excited that we got to talk about this, because as you know, like most times I get interviewed on fitness, nutrition. So, and it's not that I don't like talking about those things, but it is. Yeah, it's fun to step out of that and talk about some mindset stuff, some life stuff, some entrepreneurship stuff.
No, 100%, man. All right, again, I appreciate you coming on, dude.
Yeah,